You know what? I got to compliment you guys. The energy in the room Thursday night and today has been incredible. So congratulations. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of things happening here. Give yourself a hand for that. One thing I know that when you see a marketplace that's moving in the right direction, you know they're moving in the right direction when you've got, you know, all the people are excited in the room prior to the event and they're mingling with each other. They've got friends, you know. It's not like you just show up like you're going to a movie theater and wait for the show to start. Okay, that's not what you typically would want to see. It's when people come in and there's relationships and there's friendships when they come into the room and they don't want to sit down. And that's what I noticed today. So that's definitely a great sign that a marketplace is on the move. And there's no doubt that's happening here in Salt Lake. So what I want to do is, you know, it's so interesting that, you know, Deanne DeBell was recognized as the top producer in the state, which is not too much of a surprise to me. But what's interesting is, you know, it's funny when you're a top producer like that, you got all these memberships coming in. And, you know, I don't know how organized she is, but I'm sure it's like, you know, she rolls over in bed and she lifts up her pillow and lo and behold, there's another app, you know. Oh my gosh, I forgot to send that one in, you know. And she sorts her papers. Oh my gosh, there's five more apps right there. I need to get those sent in, you know. Luke, do you have that problem with your associates' apps? All the time, yeah. All the time. So, all right, well, I'm going to pull up our training today that I'm going to talk about. And, well, that just gave it away. And I'm just kidding. So this is a term that was actually habituristics. That's a made-up word. But that was coined by my brother Chris. But 17 habituristics of successful network marketers. And we're going to talk about what those are. And today will be more of a philosophical type training, and it's having the right philosophies and attitude to excel in a business like this. You know, it's interesting because you've got your, you know, there's the how-tos, the how to do the business, but it's not the how-tos that are so important, it's the how you do the how-tos. Does that make sense? It's how you do them. It's the attitude which you have and the enthusiasm or the lack of that really, you know, yields the right results or not. So let's jump into these and we're gonna cover these. And I've also got, I think I've got the audio plugged in. So we, do I? Oh, yes. Okay. So we're gonna go through and talk about each one of these. And I've got some great video clips that I want to share with you as well. But the first thing is, number one is you got to be teachable, willing to learn and improve. See, a lot of times the people just aren't they're not coachable, and those are the things that the ingredients that I like to see when I'm bringing on a new associate. I want to know that they've got a willingness to work, they're coachable, and they're willing to go out there and just get busy, but also following a system. And I tell you, you know, I was excited about my business when I started 12 years ago, but I certainly made my share of mistakes. I remember going to my first Fast Start training class, and they taught us the system on how to succeed in this business. And so when I heard that, I thought, man, that sounds like there's got to be a better way, you know. And so me and my brothers start thinking about other ways to grow the business. And, you know, one way is we figured, well, listen, all we got to do is just go out there and just put up flyers all over every car in the mall, like I think somebody did in this parking lot today. That doesn't work. And I can tell you, we did it. We went to the busiest mall in Fort Worth, Texas, put flyers on all the cars, and I got one person called me who spoke Spanish, and I don't speak that language. So it was a waste of time. But you know what's interesting? This is the good part. The good part is that we were doing something. We were busy. You know, and Newton's law says a body in motion tends to stay in motion, right? And it does. I mean, if you're doing that. Sometimes people experience some discouragement, and we thought we were going to get rich when the phone was going to be ringing like crazy and putting those flyers out, and it didn't happen. And there's one time, me and my brother thought, well, you know what, let's just run this traditional ad, and I know this lady who can put an ad in this magazine that goes out to all these houses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're like, yes, okay. And so it's $600. So me and my brothers, we all pitched in all our money to be able to run this advertisement. And we thought, man, this is going to go to like 500,000 homes in Dallas-Fort Worth, and we were just going to get rich. We were so excited about that. And we were brand new in the business. And so we ran that ad, and again, I got one phone call on that ad, and it was an associate that wanted to find out how the ad ran for us. So that didn't go anywhere. Wasted $600. And then I thought, well, you know what? There's got to be another better way. And then I was driving down the road, and I say, hey, you know, work from home, CEO income on these little road signs. I thought, well, hey, it must be working for them. So we started making these road signs. And we would play it, put them all over the place, and we actually did get some calls on it, but not the sharpest people in the shed. But so anyway, it was so funny because, you know, I had a brand new associate just brought on board. It was his first business briefing. He was super excited. And after it was over, he went back to the cool table, or the tool table, and was ended up, you know, trying to look at which tools he wanted to get to launch his business. So I walked up to him, and I said, I go, hey, listen, you don't need any of this stuff. Come here, follow me. So I walked out to my car, and I pop open the trunk, and I'm like, open it up, and I said, look, just take these signs and plaster them all over the town, okay? And you want to go out late at night because there's not as much traffic, a.k.a. cops, and then you'll get phone calls. And he goes, okay. So he goes out there, and he plasters the town like crazy and just puts these signs everywhere. And the next morning, he calls me freaking out. And he was like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do. What do I do? What's going on? He goes, I got to play the voicemail. So on three-way, he plays the voicemail. He says, hey, this is Sergeant So-and-so, the Fort Worth Police Department. You're in violation of city code, blah, 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 and you're going to be charged X amount per sign. We need you to give us a call right away. So he hangs up the phone. He's like, Dr. Shoes, what do I do? And I said, delete the message. Don't call him back. Well, needless to say, he quit. But so I made a lot of mistakes is what I'm trying to share with you. What I was taught when I started my business was the way you do the business. And that is what duplicates. And the way that you're taught in the way to do this business. So what I recommend for you is to shelf those grand ideas that you've got. Spare your brilliance for a little bit and follow the system here at Legal Shield. And it will surprise you how well it works and that it actually duplicates, unlike the signs that didn't duplicate. You know, I couldn't believe the guy quit. He was so excited. But anyways, okay, so number one is teachable. Number two is you're willing to work. You know, action is the real measure of intelligence by Napoleon Hill. And that's when you go out there and you got to do something. You see people all the time that are, they feel like they got to know everything before they can do anything. Will you ever learn how to ride a bicycle if you never got on one? Why? You got to experience what? Balance. Falling down. You got to experience balance. So when you have that experience of knowing what the balance is like, that's when you actually learn how to ride that bike. And you're going to fall down. You know? Same thing in this business. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. But you get back up. And through those experiences, you become better. And a lot of times people just want to read, study, go to all the trainings, but they never really apply the business. You got to get out there and go do something. Apply the information. And that is going to be your greatest source of learning. You can read all the books in the world, but if you don't really apply it, you're not going to be able to build an income and a business here with Legal Shield. Number three is to have a burning desire. You know, Robert Kiyosaki says the size of your success is measured by the strength of your desire. There's a great book, you know, if you haven't read it, you should read it. But Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And his number one chapter in that book is, I think number one is thoughts or things, which is interesting because when I first heard that concept, thoughts, bless you, are things. How are thoughts things? It's interesting, but it's true that your thoughts truly manifest the physical things that happen in your life. That's how they're things. The second chapter in that book is you've got to have desire, a burning white heat of desire. I can tell you when I started with my business, I was excited. I was excited. I couldn't go to sleep. How many of you in this room were so excited when you were first exposed to this business or maybe after your first live event, you went home that night and you couldn't even sleep? Anybody? Okay? That's good. I wish many sleepless nights upon you. Because you know that you're so excited about that. You've got that desire, that burning desire that keeps you up at night. That's what's going to get you to go out there and build this business, is that desire. So you've got to develop that desire in yourself. Having a positive mental attitude. Attitude is
everything.
Everything. So again, it's not how you do this business. It's how you do the house. And it's that attitude in which you do them. You know, some of the leaders in our marketplace got me a T-shirt, and it has an airplane on it. And the saying on there says, your altitude equals your attitude. And, you know, which means when your attitude in a plane is going up like this, means you're going up. And I'm telling you, that's so, so true. Not just in flying, it's true in life. And I'm going to show you this video here that is a video by Napoleon Hill himself. And it is such an incredible education. And he talks extremely fast, but everything that comes out of his mouth is worth millions. Everything. And I recommend you to grab your notes and take some notes of the information that he talked about, and it's how to develop a positive mental attitude. So we're going to watch this quick. It's a few minutes, so please take notes.
As I have suggested in previous visits, a positive mental attitude can clear away all obstacles which stand between you and your major purpose in life. Because of the importance of the subject of our visit, I shall not only tell you that a positive mental attitude heads the entire list of the 12 great riches in life, but I am going to give you explicit instructions as to what you must do to keep your mind positive. In all the success books I have written, I have never suggested to my readers what they should do without clearly telling them how to do it. Are you ready? If you are ready, this visit may bring the most important change in your life you have ever experienced. 1. Learn to adjust yourself to other people's state of mind and difficulties so as to get along peacefully with them and to refrain from taking notice of trivial circumstances in your relations with other people by refusing to allow them to become controversial incidents. Great people always avoid small incidents of controversy when possible. 2. Establish for yourself a definite fixed system of conditioning your mind at the beginning of each day so you will keep it positive under all circumstances. 3. Learn the art of selling yourself to other people by indirection, such as asking leading questions, which will bring out the sort of reactions from others which you desire. And do not permit yourself to be drawn into argument over unimportant subjects. 4. Adopt the habit of having a good hearty laugh every time you become irritated or angry, and it will help you if you begin each day with 1 minute of hearty laughing. This will change the chemistry of your brain and start you out with a positive mental attitude. However, you had better get out of sight when you take your laughing exercise. 5. Start each day with an expression of gratitude for all the adversities, defeats, failures you have experienced in the past, and to search for the seed of an equivalent benefit these have yielded you through the passing of time. Then give thanks for the blessings you expect to receive during the day. 6. learn to concentrate your attention on the can-do portion of all of your problems and desires, and start action where you stand in carrying out this portion. No matter what may be your problem or your desire, there is always something you can do right now that will help you. Find out what this something is and do it. 7. Learn to transmute all unpleasant circumstances into immediate action which calls for a positive mental attitude, and make this a fixed habit. For example, when you are angry, switch your mind to some sort of action in connection with your hobby or your major purpose in life, and keep it busy with that subject for 5 minutes. 8. Recognize that every circumstance which influences your life, whether it is a pleasant or unpleasant circumstance, is grist for your mill of life, and so use it to make it pay you dividends in one form or another, remembering, meanwhile, that your strength grows out of your struggles. Follow this instruction, and you will soon learn that there is no such thing as an unprofitable experience. 9. Look upon your life as a continuous process of education, of learning from all your experiences, good and bad, and to be always on the alert for gains of wisdom which come to you a little at a time in both your pleasant and unpleasant experiences. 10. Make the world over to fit your own pattern if you choose, but begin with yourself in some sort of self-improvement which will make you more open-minded, patient, and generous in your relations with others. 11. Express gratitude twice daily for your recognition of the fact that you have been given complete control over your own mind, and ask for guidance in order that you may use this profound gift wisely in all your thoughts and acts. 12. Go out of your way daily to comment enthusiastically on the good qualities of those with whom you live and work, but do not mention their negative qualities. Then, observe with benefit to yourself how quickly others will begin to concentrate on your good qualities. Remember, I'm still talking about how to keep your mind positive. And 13, accept all criticism of yourself as an occasion for self-examination to determine how much of it is justified, and you will be sure to make startling discoveries about yourself which will help you to the remainder of your life. 14, do not accept from life or anyone else anything you do not desire. And remember that Mahatma Gandhi proved himself to be more powerful than the great British military forces by this simple method of passive resistance. 15. Remember always that there are two kinds of circumstances which cause you to worry. Those you can do something about, and those you can do nothing about. Nothing, that is, except to use passive resistance and refuse to permit them to worry you. 16. Keep your mind eternally engaged in thinking of that which you desire most, your major purpose in life, so no time will be left for you to waste on thinking of that which you do not want. And let me digress here while I tell you we are now rubbing elbows with the great master key of success, this very moment. And 17. If you should ever be so unfortunate as to feel sorry for yourself, look around until you find someone who is worse off than yourself, and start where you stand to give him help. Make this procedure a habit, and you will witness one of the great miracles of life, because that which you do to or for another, you do to or for yourself. And 18, choose some person whom you consider to be the sort of person you would like to be. Then go to work and emulate that person in every way possible. Great people have always been hero worshipers, but they pick the right sort of people to emulate. 19. Cultivate your tone of voice so that your words have a pleasing musical sound. And remember that the sound of your voice is an open window through which other people look into your very soul. It will be a profitable investment if you will get a tape recording machine and record samples of your voice daily while you practice the art of expressing yourself through a friendly sounding voice. If you are engaged in selling, this practice will quickly pay off in monetary dividends. 20. Last, but by no means the least, write out this sentence and paste it in a prominent place where you work and on a mirror where you see yourself in your home. Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. Remember also that you are the only person who can provide you with a positive mental attitude. What are you going to do about it? On your answer to this question rests your entire future.
All right. So, was that an education? I mean, everything that comes out of his mouth is such incredible advice to live life. And having that right positive mental attitude is what's going to get you through the tough times. It's going to allow you to be able to dream and visualize and actually believe that it's possible. But the attitude really represents everything. And so take that advice and develop a positive mental attitude in everything that you do. Number five is to act as if. This means thinking like, talking like, dressing like, acting like, and feeling like the person who has already achieved your goal. Acting as if sends a powerful command to your subconscious mind to find creative ways to achieve your goals. When I was brand new, I acted as if I was a platinum when I was brand new. Now, if you were to say, I want to act as if a platinum, what does a platinum look like? How does a platinum act? How does a platinum dress? Does that make sense? So these are things that I started to do, and I started to observe the successful people, the ones that have what I wanted when I was brand new. And so I would start to model them. So when I went to the business briefings and went to the events, I dressed as if I was a platinum. It was interesting because the first business briefing I ever went to as a guest, me and my brothers had asked the lady who invited us to come, what should we wear? And she goes, if you have a suit, wear one. So we wore our suits, and I had a big old hole in my knee in my suit, but it was the only suit I had, so I wore it. My brother Chris, he had a big old hole right back here where the moths had eaten through his suit, but he looked great from the front. Hi, how are you doing? But we showed up in suits, and we acted as if we were successful Legal Shield associates. Now, we were guests. Here's what's interesting. These people had never seen us before. And we walked in the room, and they came up, shook our hands, got to meet us, and they said, which one of you guys are our guest speaker tonight? And we were guests. Because we were acting as if we had already achieved that success. That starts by choice. It's just a choice, and you can make that choice starting the day you got started with your Legal Shield business. Number six is to dream and visualize. You must see your goal clearly and specifically before you can set out for them. Hold them in your mind until they become second nature. Les Brown. You know, for those of you who don't know Les Brown, this is a guy who was, when he was born, they said that he is, he can't be educated. And so you might as well not even bother. And that's what he raised with, and that was the belief that he had, that he was never going to become anything because he couldn't learn anything. So as he got older, he was actually mowing some lawns in the medium strip of a highway, and one day he realized that he could become whatever he wanted to become. And this is a guy who originally he wanted to get into radio. So he went, he worked as a janitor, as a radio, and then one day, the guy who was the radio host got drunk and didn't show up for work, and they were freaking out looking for somebody who could cover his shift, and he says, I will do it, and he was there. And they didn't know anything about this guy, but they gave him the shot, and he got on there and just sung, and just delivered this most powerful message, and then that, of course, got his breakthrough into radio, and now is an incredible author and speaker. But this is a guy who they said could never amount to anything. But because he was able to visualize and dream that someday he was going to be someone special, he believed it, and it happened. And you can, you know, as long as you're dreaming and visualizing, then those dreams are going to be true. But you've got to clearly see them and specifically write them down. And it was interesting because when we got started, me and my brothers, we studied the compensation plan. Before I ever marketed a membership, I knew exactly what it took to go platinum before I ever marketed a membership. And it's interesting, there's probably people in this room that have been in the business for over 2 years, and they can't even tell you what it'd take to go to platinum. There's documentations, you know, on the back office that you can download. It's 4 pages. It'll show you everything you want to know about the compensation plan and how to maximize it and what it's going to take to advance through every level. So study that, so that you know what you're actually dreaming and visualizing about. And it's not just some idle wish, but that you actually know what it's going to take. And when we got started, we had all dreamed and visualized the lifestyle of hitting platinum executive director. And me and my brothers were talking late at night in my brother Chris's house, and it was such a fun time. And, you know, as we're dreaming and visualizing and talking about what it's going to be like when we create this lifestyle with this company. To have these huge organizations, to have passive income and time and financial freedom. And we started to define it so much. And we started talking about the cars that we were going to have and the things that we were able to do and the freedom and to be involved in our kids' lives because our parents weren't so involved in ours. And it was exciting. But then we all committed that day to cross over the line and say, I'm a platinum executive director. But here's what's interesting. Before I ever marketed a membership, I was already a platinum executive director. Before I ever marketed a membership, because I held them in my mind so clearly it became second nature. All I needed was time to catch up with my vision. That's all I needed was time. I was already a platinum. I made that decision a long time ago. Number 8 is the Have Wise Associations. How many of you have ever heard this say, I know my dad gave it to me all the time, you hang around those bums, you're soon going to become one. Anybody heard something like that? Did I skip 7? Okay. 8 twice? Okay, we'll move to that. Hopefully it is. If I left 7 out, sorry. Okay, so the Have Wise Associations, you know, you hang around bums, you're soon to become one, right? So how many of you agree that if you hang around this group, making meth, you might end up in jail real soon? Okay? Now, this is obviously an extreme here. Or, let me get that picture off the screen. Or, you hang around some successful people. You might become successful. It's interesting that you can add the 5 people that you hang around most, add up their income, divide by 5, and it's probably about what you make. It's just the law of associations. The people you hang around is who you become. And so that's why it's so important to find those opportunities to hang around those people who have what you want. You know, it's interesting. I never passed up on an opportunity to surround myself around successful people. I knew the law of association. I knew how powerful that was in my life and in my business. And so that's one of the reasons why I never missed events. And I, because I knew the people who had success in the business, they weren't out of my house. So I had to go find them. And now it's like, it's interesting because, you know, Mr. Hall is, you know, one of the top income earners in the state, and Mr. Ryan Burns is one of the top income earners in the state. You guys heard the expression, it's lonely at the top? You ever heard that? Okay. See, all of you have examples in leadership that you can look up to, people that have done very well with the business. Where do these guys go? You ever thought about that? See, what's interesting is that if they want to get around those people, they actually have to pay money to get around those people. They have to travel to get around those people. And so they'll go to some of the bigger events in other states and to surround themselves around people who have more than what they have so that they can be at a higher level of associations as well. You don't have to do that as much because you've got it right here, people that you can look up to and bring you to a higher level. I always look for that opportunity. Matter of fact, when I showed this last night, or I think when I heard the Melias were coming to town, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we drove from Fort Worth, Texas to Tulsa, Oklahoma, just so I could be around people that had made over $250,000 their first year in the business. I was like, I want to meet those people. You know, we had a great dinner last night. Good group of people, good food. But, of course, many of you weren't there last night. And you want to look for those opportunities because, see, here's what's special about nights last night is that you don't have somebody in front of the stage, in front of hundreds of people. You have a smaller, more intimate group, and I'm telling you, that's where the nuggets are found. That's where the real nuggets are found. And you get to ask them questions that you would never ask in an audience like this. To get to know the story behind the story of that person. So always look for the opportunity to surround yourself around the people who have what you want. Number eight, the real number eight. Okay, so here's a video clip that I think is really good in talking about the consistent and persistent. Some of y'all might recognize the voice talent.
Oftentimes we are like the young merchant who in 1849, as the story goes, was caught up in the fervor of the California gold rush. He sold all of his possessions to seek his fortune in the California rivers, which he was told were filled with gold nuggets so big that one could hardly carry them. Day after endless day, the young man dipped his pan into the river and came up empty. His only reward was a growing pile of rocks. Discouraged and broke, he was ready to quit.
Oh, there's gold, all right. You just have to know where to find it.
There's nothing here. Trust me, I've been searching for days. It's hardly worth my time. I'm looking for nuggets, like the ones in your pouch, not just tiny flecks.
Son, it seems to me you are so busy looking for large nuggets. You're missing, filling your pouch with these precious flecks of gold.
He was stunned to see that the pouch was filled with thousands of flecks of gold. The old prospector said, "The patient accumulation of these little flecks has brought me great wealth."
All right. Often in this business, people are always looking for the huge gold nugget or something that's going to get them rich because they heard about the stories. Oh, my gosh, all that money that can be made in Legal Shield. But they don't realize the consistency and the persistence it took to generate that wealth. And it wasn't these massive things that just happened. These massive gold nuggets just happened to fall in their lap. It was the little effort compounded every single day over time that led them to the success that they were able to achieve. And so that's what we need to be focused on when we're building this business is just being consistent. Imagine this, if you're exposing, like we talk about in the 10 core commitments, you're exposing two people a day every single day. You know, now, of course, some of those may tell you no, and some of those you'll continue to follow up. Let's assume that they haven't told you no yet. But at the end of 30 days, if you did two every single day, how many people would you have to be working that you have working with? How many people? 60. Okay? Now let's say half of those drop off, you have 30. The next month you do it again. Now you expose two people a day, you've got another 60 people, half of those drop off. Now you've got 60 people total in the next 2 months, and that continues to compound. See, if you're making those exposures every single day, to where you've got people that are interested in looking at your business, eventually it's inevitable that someone is going to sign up. So long as you're consistent in making those exposures every single day. So long as you're consistent in showing up to these events. So let's move on. Number 9. Successful network marketers are also servers and givers. And I think this picture here is one of the greatest examples to describe this business. You know, you make it up a little somewhere in the business, and then you reach down to help somebody else come on up with you. And, you know, that's this business. That's it. You learn a little bit, you teach a little bit. You learn a little bit more, you get a little more success, you go back, you teach a little bit more, help them have more success. It's often been said, how do you go platinum executive director? And the answer, sometimes, you move a lot of chairs. Did y'all get that? You moved a lot of chairs. You showed up early to help serve the marketplace. You help adjust the chairs, make sure the room is set up right, looks good, but it also gets you an opportunity to get in and surround yourself around the leaders, to get to know them more on a personal level. And that comes from serving and giving. Sometimes you have a difficult time to get around these people, but if you serve them, it will give you that opportunity. Or take them out to lunch. Nathan Miller is an old friend of mine. He took me out to breakfast yesterday, and we had, 2.5 hours together, catching up on old times, but also was able to share some nuggets with him to help in the business. Was that helpful to you? Okay? And, he said he was going to take me to breakfast. I wasn't going to say no, right? but we had a great time, and it just comes from serving and giving. Number 10 is enjoy the journey. Focus on the journey, not on the destination. Joy is found not in the finishing of an activity, but in doing it. And I'll tell you, when you're building this business and you are full-time with the business, maybe a little too early, and you have to sell a membership to put food on the table, that's not very fun. But when you're doing this business on the side to make extra income and to eventually provide you an incredible business and lifestyle with this, and you're doing it on the side to make extra income, it's a blast. So be careful about quitting your job too soon. You know, my brother Chris tells such a funny story because when he started, he was waiting tables at Chili's. So making about $200 a week in tips. He was like, oh my gosh, I'll sell two of these on Monday and I'm done for the rest of the week. So he quit his job too early, and there were many times that he was actually splitting his top ramen in half. Half of it was for him and half to keep his dog alive. That's not a fun time to build a business. There were times when we'd gone through struggles in our business. You know, when we had the car repossessed and we had the notice on the apartment saying, hey, you better get out. 3 days or you're out of here. You know, those weren't fun times. But as Napoleon Hill said in that video clip, look for a way to have a chuckle. I remember when me and my brother Chris were going through some big challenges down when we were living in California financially and just trying to make the business work. We had launched the first business briefing in San Bernardino, California. And they told us, don't even bother because that's the armpit of Southern California and it won't work. We've tried it many, many times. It just doesn't work. But we didn't have gas money to go down to the beach cities where all the activity was, so we had to make it work. And so we started the business briefing, and it started off with a bang, eventually kind of dropped off a little bit. The hotels are expensive down there. And we had our credit cards on the line. And there was a time there that where we were not able to have enough people pitch in for the cost of the hotel, so now it's coming out of our pockets. And it was difficult. And we were struggling in building our business. So my brother Chris came and he was like, Dave, I think we need to cancel the event. We can't afford it. It's just racking up credit card debt. And so I knew there's no way that we could cancel that. We had to keep going. I mean, that's the only thing was keeping our team together was this event. So they kept coming out. So no one knew how hard it was, how much we struggled at this time in our business because we were acting as if. We had our happy faces on. We were positive. We didn't take that negative stuff or the challenges down to the team. You got to be careful about being too transparent. So we didn't cancel it, and it's interesting to see how that has grown. I mean, now it's been over 400 people a week attending that event. They said you couldn't do it. But here's what's interesting. When we were going through those tough times, I remember me and my brother were sitting on the curb with that 3-day notice outside of our apartment complex, crying, wondering what the heck are we going to do? And I remembered what I'd read from Napoleon Hill. He says, in every adversity comes an equal or greater blessing or opportunity. And I thought, as bad as this is, dang, it's got to be good on the other side. And that's what we had that conversation, and we just talked about it. I mean, we're taking this challenge that we're going through, and we're making it, realizing that it's going to get good. It's going to get better for us. But we got to get through this. And we got through it. And it got good. But you got to enjoy that journey. We're all going to face difficult times. Understand that. But the difficult times will only make you stronger. All right, so let's go. Here's a great video clip from Oprah Winfrey's by Simon Cowell.
With the internet, everything is about speed. I want it now. I want it quicker and quicker and quicker. But I think the generation of people now in their teens have a slightly different outlook than what I did, which is a lot of them see fame now as a very, very quick way of getting what they want. And they don't want to wait around for 30 years. They just want that lifestyle now. They want the house, the chicks, the cars. It is an epidemic, there's no question of doubt. And, you know, obviously we've helped fuel it. But at the same time, and I think this is why I do have an important voice on the show, is trying to also create an example for other people watching the show, which is, number one, you're only going to achieve this if you're talented. And number two, regardless of what's happening around today, the internet, this, that, whatever, the principles still apply. You know, it's still going to take a while. And it should take a while. It takes a while to be good. You learn it as you go along. You don't get smart at 17. You just don't. Unless, you know, you're one in a billion. It just isn't going to happen that way. It will normally happen over time, and it's the getting there which has been the most fun. When we made American Idol, I thought, you know, it's funny, you know, I'd probably quite like it. Not sure how other people are going to react to it. It had gone on air and it's rated very well, and the rest is kind of history. But that first year, I have to say, when we were kind of working it out along the way, and it was fun, and it was controversial, that was one of the best years of my life. I really enjoyed that year. Because we weren't at number one, we were trying to be number one. And I always remember now thinking, actually, genuinely, it was more fun trying to be number one than it was being there and then sort of being defensive. I said this to someone recently who came to me for an interview. And I said, look, we'll put you in at the bottom, and the great thing is within 15, 20 years, you know, you'll start making some money. And I could see the horror on his face as I said that. What do you mean 15, 20 years? Well, that's what it's going to take, but, you know, you'll have a great time. And he was completely horrified when I said it, because he's thinking, well, how about 6 months? I wish.
Isn't that great? So, success lessons from Simon Cowell. But, you know, that's a guy who has achieved incredible success. And he really tells, you know, he's obviously talking about the entertainment industry, but that information applies to everything, doesn't it? So, enjoying the journey. Number 11 is know why you're building the business or why you're here. So, what is your why? Maybe it's to retire your mama. Then you got to dig a little deeper and ask, what are the reasons why do you want to retire your mama? Maybe it's you've seen her struggle her whole life, or maybe it's because your way of giving back because she gave so much to you. And then you got to ask yourself, what are you willing to sacrifice to get it? And I'll tell you, I knew why I was building this business. See, my father had worked for Lockheed Martin for 25-plus years. And after all those years of dedicated service, you know, there was many times when I was younger, I played baseball all from T-ball all the way to college. And he used to be my coach when I was in T-ball. His responsibility got greater in corporate America, and he was no longer my coach. Matter of fact, when I went to high school, we went to the state finals almost every single year. But he never made it to one game. Not one. And that's probably the time when it really meant the most. So I saw my dad dedicate his life to corporate America and climbing that corporate ladder. And 6 months before retirement, 2 weeks before Christmas, they fired every 60-year-old in his department. And I remember the devastation on his face when he came home. He never thought that would ever happen to him. He thought he was up high enough in the ranks, it would just never happen. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is they hired an outside auditing firm to come in and find the strengths and weaknesses of the whole company. And when they interviewed and went through his department, this is in print. They interviewed his department, and they got flying colors on everything. They were so productive. They were great. They knew what they were doing. The weakness. And they said it in politically correct words, the weakness. You have too many old employees. And that was right after the terminations came, is when that report came out. So I wanted to build something for me that couldn't have that rug yanked out from underneath my feet. And sometimes I've heard people say, yeah, you know, but Legal Shield is it's your own business. But really, it's not your business because you could be terminated. Is that right? Okay. Name me one business profession, any profession, somebody. Doctor? Okay, doctor. So if I send in fraudulent insurance claims, would I still be a doctor? Wow. So I could get fired as a doctor? Do y'all see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what profession or business you're in. You do something wrong, you're in trouble. Does that make sense? But this is our own business. And as long as we build our business within the bounds of the policies and procedures and the ethics, we don't need to worry about that stuff. So I saw what happened to my dad, and I wanted to build a business on my own. That's one of the reasons that motivated me to go into chiropractic, because I could be a doctor. But I realized there was a better lifestyle by building a business with Legal Shield. And so I left that behind back in 2003 and went full-time with Legal Shield and have the freedom that I never thought I'd have in practicing chiropractic. It's been incredible. Number 12. They're also master goal setters. And a lot of times people will throw a goal out there like it's some idle wish. You know, especially when we come back from conventions. I don't know. I didn't hear this as much this convention, but I've heard it many times in the past. You'll have a brand new, maybe senior associate that goes to convention, and they come back and they say, you know what, by Dallas, I'm going to be executive director. And they're a senior associate right now. I'm not saying that's not impossible, but is it likely? Not really, you know, unless you have some grand plan. But a lot of times when people throw that out there, they have no idea what it takes to actually go an executive director. I think it's interesting when they say something like that, they say, great, do you have a plan? Yep, I got a plan. Okay, what is it? How many memberships does it take to go executive director? Well, I don't know that yet, but I'll figure it out. See, that's not a goal. That's just a wish. So a goal needs to be measurable. You need to be able to track it. What are you doing and how well are you progressing? It also needs to have a time factor involved. When are you going to have this happen? You know, if you say, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds, and that's all you said. Okay, it's not measurable. It has no time limit to it. And so there's no deadline. Because how many of you tried to wrap up Performance Club? And I saw, gosh, so many of you walking across being recognized for that. Congratulations. But how many of you are trying to wrap up Performance Club and most of your points came in the last week of the month? Anybody? Okay. It's pretty common, right? It happens. And so when you set these goals, when you add time frames, you know if you're behind, you can work a little harder, a little faster. It needs to be specific. You need to know exactly what you want. And it needs to be realistic. Because, see, if it's not realistic, your mind, when you set a goal, your mind creates this tension, this cognitive tension that says, you know, either I'm going to do it or I'm not. And there's going to be a breaking point. For instance, I want everybody to stand up for me real quickly. Okay, I want everybody to do this exercise with me. So, and you'll need to maybe be careful when you do this. But I want you to stick your arm off to the side, okay? Actually, take your right arm. Everybody take your right arm so we're all doing the same thing, okay? So now what I want you to think is I want you to look at your finger and act like your finger has a laser pointer and it's pointing on the wall or across the room, okay? Okay, and you see that pointing, okay? Now, I want you to take that and I want you to keep your feet firmly planted on the ground. And I want you to turn around as far as you can and mark that spot on the wall. Okay, do you mark it? Okay, so now here's what I want you to think about is I want you to think about, I want everybody to close your eyes. Okay, we're going to do it in our mind now, but this time I don't want you to actually physically do it. I just want you to close your eyes and visualize this time what you're going to be doing. So don't do it physically, but in your mind, put your right arm out there again and get that laser pointer, just in your mind, not physically. Okay, and put your laser pointer out on that wall. Okay, you see it in your mind. See it bouncing around, that little laser pointer, right? Okay, and so now I want you to extend around a little bit more, okay, not physically, just in your mind, Okay, you're going around a little bit further, and then you see that now you've moved back to the back corner of the room. Okay, that little laser pointer is still bouncing along the wall, and you keep on going. Next thing you know, now you're towards the back of the room, and you continue to go even further. Now you've gotten to that point that as far as you could go. But now in your mind, I want you to think, I'm going to go a lot further than that. I'm going to go on. So then you continue to take that laser pointer further and further than you ever thought. And now you take it even a little bit more. And you took it as far as you can. And now you got that laser pointer bouncing on the wall. And you mark that spot. Okay? Open your eyes. Okay. So now everybody, physically, put your arm out to the side. And I want you to take that laser pointer. And I want you to take it as far as you can around you. And mark that spot. How many of you went farther the second time? Okay? See, that is the power of visualization. You can have a seat. Thank you very much. You visualize that you can actually do more than you thought you'd do. But here's what's interesting. See, the mind creates this tension, and it says either you can or you can't. But all of you knew that you could go further than you went the first time after you really thought about it. And your body starts to compensate in ways that you didn't think you could do the first time. But because you went through it and rehearsed it in your mind, you said, no, I can go further. And you continue to go around further than you could. And the same thing when you're setting these goals. When you set your goals and they're realistic, your mind will do whatever necessary, and your body will do whatever necessary to help achieve those goals, if you actually have goals. So that's important, and then it needs to be reviewed daily, and even multiple times a day. You go through those goals. That's when you know that you have a real goal that is defined and that you are actually going to make sure that goal happens. If you just say, I'm going to make manager by Dallas. I'm going to go. You've got to have a plan. And you've got to have all these ingredients to make it happen. All right, so number 13. I had a video clip, but for some reason it didn't transfer. But you got to have workout partners. And the video clip was actually, this is actually a clip from Gladiator, the movie. And I love this video clip because, you know, they go out there in this giant coliseum as the gladiators. And they bring out these great Roman soldiers to try and defeat them. And you'll see in this video clip where Russell Crowe tells them, you got to stick together. You got to stick together. But some of those people, thinking they're all big and bad and tough, they would go off on their own. And they'd say, oh, I don't need them. I'm going to take on these soldiers. And next thing you know, they get shot in the back with an arrow. And they're dead. Do you have it? Can you pull it up very quickly? So, but you know, when you think about this business, I think one of the greatest recipes of success for me and my family story was the fact that I didn't have just one workout partner. Most people never even have one. I had four. My brothers that I could call on for help and support. When I have a bad day, I could call them up. Matter of fact, I had a guy on my team called the other day, and he just got slammed in this horrible appointment. And he was so frustrated. And he called me up, and he was like, he expected that I actually slept in, which I normally do. And he's like, did you accomplish anything today already? You had any wonderful appointments or anything? And I go, yeah, I just recruited 3 associates. And I was serious. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, this person and this person, this person. They all came on board. Are you kidding me? And so that kind of fueled his fire. He's like, oh my God, okay, gosh, dang it, I'm going to do it. So he goes out there and works a little hard. That's the same thing happened with me and my brothers. Okay, you got the video clip ready? Okay, so this is a great video clip. Let's watch it real quick.
Raise your weapons, salute him, and then speak together. Face the emperor, and don't turn your back on him. Go! And die with honor. Yeah!
On this day, we reach back to hallowed antiquity to bring you a recreation of the second fall of mighty Carthage. On the barren plain of Zarma, there stood the invincible armies of the barbarian Hannibal. Ferocious mercenaries and warriors from all brute nations bent on merciless destruction. Conquest. Your emperor is pleased to give you the Barbarian Horde.
Anyone here been in the army?
Yes.
I saw if we could have been to Bar. You can help me. Whatever comes out of these gates, we've got a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand? If we stay together, we survive.
Pleased to bring you the legionnaires of Scipio Africana!
Single color! Single color!
Let's end it right there. You know, it's interesting. Isn't that a great clip? Now, I like that clip because it's a theatrical example of really what happens in our business. Because, see, when you're together at these events and you lock your shields and stay as one, then you'll succeed. And the feeling of, you know, you can kind of feel that through the music and the way, you know, the way these guys ended up becoming victorious. It feels good to win, doesn't it? And did y'all get that? I only have it for my kids to lock them out. And it's funny that actually locks them out. But where am I? Okay. All right, so, but in these events, you know, if you're trying to do it all on your own, I'm telling you, you're going to take errors. And to be able to succeed is not going to work. We actually have a gal in Colorado who's one of the top producers in the whole entire state. Now, I've lived in Colorado going on 6 years, and I have never seen her at one event, ever. And she's the top producer in the state. She's a six-figure income earner. Never seen her. But here's what's interesting. She just does it as an employee benefit. So she doesn't really care to be involved in working with other people. She refuses to work with other people. But here's what's interesting. Somebody might hear that story and think, oh, I don't have to go into any events. That's great. I want to do that route. But you know what's interesting about the story? How did she get good at doing what she did? Do you know? She never missed the events at first. You've got to learn the information somewhere, sometime. And where do you learn it? You don't learn it by reading books. You learn it around hanging around other successful people. When I first got into the business, I would see her at the company conventions. You know, you would see her at the events. But you never see her now. She's learned it. She's mastered her craft. And that's all she cares to do. And that's okay if that's what she wants to do. I personally enjoy working with people. And but here's what's interesting is you've got to have that support. You've got to have the events, the systems to help you to survive. Not to survive. It helps you to succeed. And having workout partners, where do you find those workout partners? At the events, right? And it's difficult to find a good workout partner because there's work ethic, there's time, how much time they can put in their business, their center of influence. It's difficult to find a good personality conflict. You know, it's difficult to find that person. But you start with one. You know, and if it's not going where you want or it's not inspiring you like it should, then you can find somebody else. And maybe you even have another workout partner and, you know, you start to double date a little bit. And then eventually you say, hey, this workout partnership relationship's working really well for me. And you let that person go and now you're working with them. And now you're inspired even more. Does that make sense? But I'm telling you, find a workout partner. It's one of the most powerful things you can do. All right, so number 14. Never miss anything. I just threw this picture up here. This is our graduating class of one of our Legal Shield universities we did a while back. But you never know what event that you're going to attend that's going to be the information that's going to lock the safe of unlimited financial freedom. You never know. How many of you have ever been to an event and you're like, oh my gosh, if so-and-so was only here, that was exactly what they needed to hear, right? Okay? You hear that all the time and you experience that all the time, and that's why you just never want to miss. You're there at every opportunity and surrounding yourself around the people and the lifestyle. And you make it part of you. You know, sometimes people, they treat Legal Shield as this thing they do on the side, but they're not really engaged in the business. They might show up at events every now and then, but it's not them. It's not who they are. And I'm telling you, if you want to succeed, really succeed, Legal Shield needs to become you. When you cut yourself, you bleed these little shields come out of your blood, right? I mean, that's when you know it's you. You're in it. Okay. Number 15 is ask for help. There's a great book out there called The Aladdin Factor. It just talks about just asking for help. And it's amazing how much you'll get if you just ask. Most of you probably have not even called anyone in your upline support in over a month. Why? Why haven't you? These are people who have a financial invested interest in your success. But whose responsibility is it to build a relationship with that person? Yeah. It's your responsibility to be able to go out there and build that relationship with them. They may have thousands and thousands of people on their team. They may not even know who you are, but guess what? If you're calling them and you're asking for help and you're building that relationship by putting in phone calls, then of course you're providing value. Some of you won't call because you know you're not providing any value, so you just don't call. But that goes back to being willing to work. I got to share a funny story with you on this. I was traveling in Provo, okay? This is I've never told this story, but this is a funny story. But I was traveling in Provo, and there used to be a Hardee's down in the heart of Provo, if y'all remember that, okay? And we went through the drive-thru in Hardee's, and I said, hey, after I'd ordered my meal, and I said, hey, by the way, could I get the Mormon discount in Provo? Right? Here's what's funny. They gave us a 10% discount. Because we asked. I didn't have to show proof. They just gave it to us. So it's interesting. You just ask, and it's amazing to see what actually happens when you ask for help. All right, so let's move on. Number 16 is dedicated to personal development. You know, Jim Rohn always says work harder on yourself than you do on your business. Some people take that to the extreme. They just, all they do is work on themselves. And they don't actually work on their business. But the key is to work harder on yourself than you do on your business. Because a lot of times when, you know, you've got this massive opportunity in front of you, but people come into this business with the same dull tools that didn't work in everything else they did in life, and they think it's going to work here. But you got to sharpen those tools first. You got to do something a little different with the tools that you've been given. And that's what personal development does, is allow you to sharpen those tools. Read every day, listen every day, and associate with those who have what you want. That's all part of personal development. You know, we need to have affirmations. Affirmations to help you remember who you are and where you're going. And the reason why is because, you know, we have 50,000 thoughts a day. 80% of them are negative for most people. So out of all those thoughts, and you know, it's no wonder that they're negative. I mean, most of the time we're raised and, you know, all you hear are these negative things. Hey, don't do that. Oh, what are you doing? You know, what, are you raising a barn? You know, you hear these negative things that conditions your mind. And sometimes then people end up going to bed and they watch the news, and again, all you see there is negative, negative, negative. And it starts to, again, condition your mind. And that's why not only do we want to do personal development to recondition our mind, because our mind is often been referred to as a great computer, right? And in computing, whatever you input comes out. Program negative in, you're going to get negative out. You program positive in, you're going to get positive out. And that's why you want to be actively engaged in personal development and to have those affirmations you can focus on often. And number 17 is never, never quit. What is your IQ level? The I quit level. See, new associates in this business, their IQ level is so low most of the time. And they're so fragile. It's kind of like the dandelions, not the pretty little flower, yellow flower, but the seedlets. And it's like the new associates, like one little breeze of air, poof, and they're gone, you know? They just disappear. But you've got to develop this IQ level. Now, I tell you, my IQ level dropped after last night's movie we went to go see. some of us went to go see Three Stooges. That's funny. But I think it did drop. But anyways, the IQ level here is the I quit level. Really, what is it that would knock you out of this business? Someone telling you you're an idiot that you respected? I can't believe you would build a business like that. Is that what it would take to knock you out? After you recruit your superstar who you know is going to take you to diamond in the company, and the superstar quits. Or maybe after you recruited five people that you thought would be your diamonds, and they all quit. What is it that would knock you out of this business? I think everybody has an IQ level in this business. But you want to develop that IQ level to where it's so strong that you're not going to have something that's just really, really, when you talk about the grand scheme of things and the big picture, that's something that somebody told you, wow, I can't believe you would build a business like that. But that's actually not going to knock you out of business. So what is your IQ level? Never, never quit. The only way that you can fail in Legal Shield is you just quit. It's the only way. The lady who sponsored my brother Jeff in the business, who sponsored me and my other brothers, her first associate in the business was my brother Jeff, after a year in the business. Okay? She never talked to anybody. But she went to a convention, she got all excited, and she said, I'm going to talk to my shoe salesman. So she took him out to lunch, bought him lunch. She showed him, he loved it, he signed up. Now, today she has over 80,000 people in her organization. But she quit the business. And I think the reason why is because she built this she recruited one person who ended up building this massive organization. And she recruited others, but could never duplicate that. And somewhere along the way, she lost the faith that if she did it once, she could probably do it again. And so she just quit. Now, how many of you would just do whatever necessary to have 60,000 people in your organization, right? And if you did, you would do whatever means possible, that's legal and ethical, to go find two more. Right? But you'll run across challenges. Here's what I know. As long as you stay the course, you'll find those people. Eventually, you will find those people. You may not personally recruit them. You might find somebody who leads you to somebody who leads you to somebody who eventually finds you a superstar. You know, sometimes they have the analogy of the aces, you know, in a deck of cards. There's four aces in a deck of cards, right? And how many cards are in a deck? 52. Okay? And then they'll say, you just go through there and you want to find your aces. Here's what I've learned. Not everybody has 52 cards in a deck in real life. And not everybody has four aces. Some may have more. Some may have less. But I know that if you go through them, you'll find a 10 who will lead you to an ace. If you go through the cards. Eventually, you'll find those people that will completely change your business. But you got to stay the course. And the last thing I want to share with you is three things I want to share with you on how to make really big money with a business. These are great. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is you want to go out and learn how to lie. That's the first thing. I mean, get really good at it. Because the better, you know, we had a guy on the team that used to say, you know, instead of doing a personal development, he called it personal embellishment. just kidding. That's the wrong line. What I'm talking about here is lying in bed and visualizing a brighter future. That's what I'm talking about. You got to get good at that. The next thing is you got to cheat. You got to cheat some more time out of your day to become more successful. And you got to steal from all the top leaders. Lie, cheat, and steal. That's how you go to the top of the company right there. Now, I'll share this with you. You know, there's no great secrets to my success in this business. And when I started, I had no idea what I was doing. But I knew I had a burning desire to be successful. When I was wanting to become a doctor of chiropractic, that was something I wanted to do when I was 14 years old. I'd made that decision to become a chiropractor when I was 14 years old. And that was after I'd already been diagnosed with learning disabilities and dyslexia and a bunch of other stuff you guys probably not heard of. But if someone can go on and become a doctor of chiropractic when they could barely graduate high school but never could read a book, didn't even know how to read, failed out of college twice, and eventually become a doctor of chiropractic, then why can't somebody else? But yet went on to become a millionaire club and Legal Shield without any prior experience, then why not you? Right? I can tell you this, that once you've built an organization that provides you time and financial freedom, leveraged income. See, my business, when it started to grow, these were some monumental places in my business. That, like when things just changed. The first thing that really was a significant milestone in my business was the first time I made executive director. It took me 12 months to do it. And when I made executive director for that first month, gosh, it was amazing. We had made $6,700 the first month as an executive director, actually a bronze executive director. And, I mean, that was more than I'd ever made in an entire year of my life. That's broke. I said that last night. The most I've ever made prior to Legal Shield in a year in my life was $5,700 in a year, not a month. And so when I made $6,700, it changed everything. In a month, I remember I was like, oh my gosh, what can I do to celebrate? I've never took my car through a drive-through car wash. Because it costs money to do that. I can wash it myself or you just leave it dirty. But I was like, I'm going to take it through the drive. No, I'm not. I'm going to take it through, and they're actually going to hand clean that car. I mean, the day I called the IVR and found out I qualified, I was like, yeah! I was so excited. It was an amazing time in my business. But then, you know, when you hit executive director, it's a whole other thing to maintain executive director. You know, it's one thing to hit it. It's another to be it, to be an executive director. And so we went through some challenging times. And for a couple of years, we struggled to maintain executive director. And several months, we're trying to track all the memberships that are coming in and make sure that we got what we need to qualify each month because I'd left practice. This is what I did now. I'd made that choice. And failure was not an option. We were going to hit executive director. And so we would go out there, and there was many months struggling to make it happen. Matter of fact, one of these months I sat down with when I was first running for executive director those first few months, one of the people I put on my new list of names was my ex-girlfriend from high school. And her husband hates me. I don't know why, but he does. And I sat down with her and her husband and sold them a Legal Shield membership. And they still have it today, which is crazy. But I did that out of desperation. I mean, I got uncomfortable and did things I would have never have done because I had made that goal. That goes back to that what we were talking about and reaching beyond what you think you can do. Because I'd already decided it's going to happen. But I did things to stretch myself. So, hitting executive director was one of the major things that just changed everything. The next thing was when I continued to build my business, and I got so solid that I didn't have to market a membership, and I qualified for executive director. I didn't have to do anything. It just happened. Man, was that a beautiful day. I mean, you just, you know, here's the scary thing. Here's what's bad about that. You can get lazy. When you have all that passive income coming in and you don't have to do anything to get it because you've got established levels of leadership that are out there producing every single month, every single day, man, that was a turning point for me. The next turning point was when I got three executive director teams. And the monkey was off my back. I wasn't the one worrying about hitting the executive director anymore. My new executive directors were the ones worried about hitting the executive director. So now the monkey's off my back. I've got my gray hairs, now you go get yours, right? Because it's challenging figuring it out, what it takes to really make that happen. It's a lot of work. And for the leadership here on the front row, you know, it's a lot of work to make that happen. But that was a turning point for me as well. And then to be able to generate levels of executive directors in each one of those teams was another turning point. And when you have that and you've created a business that has this legacy income that pays you whether you work or not, and provide the lifestyle that most people could only dream about, it is an amazing thing. And I know that if you apply these principles that we talked about today in the 17 habitaristics of highly successful network marketers, you can do that. If you apply yourself, you build it, never quit, stay the course, build a team, you'll be able to enjoy that. And I wish that for every single one of you, because there's nothing like owning your life. Thank you for being here. Y'all have a great night.
All right. Hey, Mark, can you cue up my laptop? All right, you guys, have you guys been enriched?
Oh, yeah.
Blessed with the information back to you? We're very fortunate that we got Mr. Hughes to come here to our marketplace and to share this information with us. And I'll tell you, when I picked him up at the airport, I didn't think he packed any bags, because when he came out, he had just one little tiny tote, and it's like, I got a laptop bag that is bigger than what he packs 3 days worth of clothes and suits and stuff in. I'm like, dude, where's your clothes? That's like a laptop bag. He's like, it's all in here. Everything I need. He goes, I like to travel light. And so I'm like thinking, okay, anything bigger than a toothpick won't fit in there on the way home. So we always like to get our guests something really nice. And I know his kids are just like my kids. They're always on the iPad, always playing games and stuff like that. So in your email inbox is a gift certificate to iTunes, $50 for downloading a game so your kids can play more games so you don't seem like such a tech
guy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, give it up again for Dr. Hughes. I know my kids are always bringing the iPad in. Dad, look at this game. It's only $3.99. Can we get it? And I'm always, no. No. Do you guys ever feel like that? Like the standard answer is always the same. And it's not because I don't really want the game. It's like, man, I ain't got time to sit there and go through the game and check it all out for you and play it and make sure that it's, you know, child safe and everything else like that. And you start saying yes to one kid, then I got six kids. They will all find 10 games that they want to play. And again, every game's only a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there and stuff like that. But now you got 50 bucks. You can just say yes, yes. Yes, yes. He'll have the games downloaded before he even gets home. He'll be playing them on the flight home and stuff. You guys, I'm so excited about the upcoming month and what's going to be happening, especially with the guests coming in. Have you got the next month's guests queued up, ready to go? $250,000 ring earner, platinum 3 jacket earner. Mr. Larry Smith. Let's watch the profile video.
Back in September of 99 at along the Arlington, Texas Leadership Summit, I think it was, we actually met there, and I asked her to tell me her story, and she told me her story, and when I found out that she'd been on food stamps and she was sleeping on her friend's living room floor with her kids that were one and two at the time, and she'd gotten her car repossessed, and of course I wrote a $49 hot check to join Prepaid Legal, so when I heard her story, it was so compelling to me because I just love success stories, and when I heard that what she had done and what she had, you know, put from her heart into this business, I just said, what can I do to help you? And she said, she laughed and she said, you can come to a meeting for me. And I'd been in prepaid for a couple of years and I made almost $250,000 my second year in the company. And so I was pretty well known in the company. And when she asked me to come to the meeting, even though she wasn't on my team, because of her story, I said, absolutely, I'll come out there.
He came out and did the meeting and we just became really good friends. And a couple of years later, we decided that we were more than friends and started dating a little bit on and off, long distance. But he was in Colorado and I was in Northern California, and so we were kind of, you know, deciding if it was going to be a good blended family. And so when he asked me to come meet him in Arizona, because he had taken a position as an RVP here, and I liked Arizona much better than Colorado, I started to consider it. So I came out and took a look and realized that it would be a good marketplace for me and my business, and it would be a good place for my children. And I wanted to make the decision, you know, based on all of that. And I fell in love with Arizona, fell in love with Larry, and here we are.
In that order? Arizona.
No. I wouldn't have moved if I didn't fall in love with you.
We actually had a great time. We dated on and off for a couple of years, as Donnie said, and it was like I was so crazy about her, but I was just afraid, you know. I mean, there was, because of the age difference, and I, you know, my children had kind of gotten to the stage through teenage years and were starting to get a little more mature, and I thought, oh gosh, your kids are like 9 and 11 at the time, and I thought, can I do this again? And it was kind of a scary feeling, but
then you decided we weren't too bad.
And once I got around the whole environment, and because her kids are great kids, and I've known them for years, obviously, and when we got started really getting close, it was just it worked out great.
We have a lot of fun. Ted, his 22-year-old, is with us, and the kids get along great. They do a lot of fun stuff together, mostly horsing around, wrestling, and then having a good time in the house. And they all play with the pets, and they all go out in the courtyard and play football and play catch, and we go out and join them sometimes. This house has been a great place to blend the family. We actually got married in the backyard.
Right there.
Which was a lot of fun. It was just family, so we were able to bring my mom in from California, and Tammy from Colorado, and Don and Ethan from Texas, and so everybody that was family was here. We set up the chairs kind of like stadium style.
Boss actually did that for us.
The neighbors had gotten married in their backyard, and so they lent us their archway. My daughter decorated it. We put some flowers around and got married at sunset.
It was incredible because it's so beautiful out here in the evening anyway, but the reality of it is that particular night, it was like, it was just a blessing from heaven. The way the sky, the water, it was a spectacular night. And the only thing that looked prettier than what the scenery was my wife. She was just absolutely gorgeous. Wonderful.
If I had written down on a piece of paper everything I ever wanted in a house, this fit the bill. The assets, obviously, is being on the water, and that's something that I've always wanted, is to be able to live on a lake.
The whole community is called Arrowhead Lakes, and it's actually one big lake that winds in and out of houses just like it does ours. And if you were to get on a pontoon boat and go around the lake, it's about a two and a half hour trip to go all the way around through the subdivisions and stuff. When you look on Google Earth and you see how the community is laid out, it's just spectacular.
The swimming pool is phenomenal. It has the waterfall coming into it, and then the spa has a waterfall going into it, and both my children love to swim, and so we pretty much live in the pool in the summertime. And the patio is just, it's set up to where we can entertain quite a bit out here. And then moving into the house, my most favorite place is the kitchen. Larry got me my dream kitchen. When we walked in and looked at it, it already had the black granite countertops, great cabinets, although it did have white appliances. And Larry was kind enough to allow me to put some stainless steel in there because it looks so much better.
I didn't see anything wrong with the client, but just when she let me know that I was not an interior designer.
We have a phenomenal master suite with a sitting area that looks out on the lake, so we can read or do private office stuff when one of us is monopolizing the downstairs office. Our office is about 600 square feet.
720,
which is larger than the house I was living in when I started prepaid legal. So my house could fit just in the office.
You know, I think the thing that's probably the most magnificent part about this is, and the reason we love to entertain so much out here is because our name is on the title. Actually, our trust name is on the title, but we don't feel like it's really ours. I feel like it belongs to the team, because without our team participating in everything that's happened for us, we wouldn't be here. And so every Super Saturday that we have here in Arizona, we like to, at that evening, we like to have what we call our Saturday night dance party. And so we have surround sound throughout the entire house and out there here on both the decks and stuff. And so we like to turn on the surround sound and have all of our friends come over that night. And Donnie likes to do themes, like we had a 70s dance party and an 80s dance party, and everybody had to dress the part. And it was just great fun to see the team coming out here, and because we want them to participate in the happiness it brings us, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to enjoy it this way. You know, Jeff Olson really preaches high bonding. And what you really find out over time is that it's all about the high bonding. It's all about the relationships you build, because everybody goes through their own learning curve. Everybody goes through their own time frame to create their success story. And what might be, you know, 1 year for someone might take 10 years for somebody else. But if you keep them as a part of the family, to where that high bonding atmosphere is always there, and you're talking on the phones with them, and you're staying close, and you get to know their families and their kids, then it makes it a family environment where it's harder for them to really leave than it is to stay, because they don't get that in jobs. Our goals for 2007 are really aggressive. It's going to be a fun year for us, because Donnie's in a separate organization than I am. We're both under Dave Savola, but Donnie goes up through Nick and Gail Serba, and then to Dave, and I go through Michael Dorsey, Clee Pickens, and then Dave. So we're working on our businesses separately, so we both have our own individual incomes. But our goal this year is to, I don't think there's ever been a couple yet that's had been double platinum household, where two separate business units, husband and wife, are both become platinum. So what our goal is this year is, I want to become a platinum five, and we want to put Donnie at the platinum level. And the only way we can do that, which is one of the great things about our compensation plan, is to help other people become executive directors. And through that process, obviously, you put other people in a much stronger financial position, and we get the benefit as a result of it. So we've got some very aggressive goals. It's going to take a lot of work. I won't get much time for golf this year, but we're going to have a great time in Las Vegas, aren't we?
Absolutely.
How exciting is that? I mean, could you imagine what that would be like to have husband and wife separate platinum organizations, bringing in that kind of income, and what you could do to, you know, willing that to the next generation, and just all the things that could happen with that. So here's some of the really cool things. In fact, last week I was in Oklahoma doing their Super Saturday for them. And Friday night I was with the regional vice president and the leaders. We were having the Q&A and stuff. And you know, one of the guys was like, "Man, we hear Utah all the time, the top, you know, per capita for recruiting and sales and stuff like that. You know, we're right here in Oklahoma. I mean, this is where it started. What do we need to do to, you know, change to, you know, have more sales, more recruits and stuff like that?" And they mentioned that they, you know, had their two-ticket club. And I said, "Well, We don't have a two-ticket club. We have a five-ticket club in Utah. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, that's like almost takes your breath away. Like, five? I'm like, well, that's what we have. And I don't know if you watched the leadership show. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. But what you're going to see is you're going to see a big, huge group photo of everyone in the state that got five tickets on stage. And then, you know, I'm right there in the middle of it. And they played that Monday morning on the leadership call in your back office. It's still up there. It'll be up there, you know, at least till Monday. Go watch it. And you'll see, you know, Tony Petrell talking about, oh, look, and there's Dave Hall out in Oklahoma. And they've got a big, huge sign that says the five-ticket club. Well, this week, Jim Shelby, the RVP, called me, and he's like, holy crap. He's like, Dave, our briefings and our trainings doubled this week. They doubled. He's like, I can't believe what happened. He goes, there were so many people that brought guests that haven't brought guests forever. He's just like, I can't believe that something that minor made that big of a difference in a marketplace. In fact, I was just picking up Dr. Hughes at the airport, and he goes, would you mind being on our conference call for the whole state here in just a few minutes? I said, I got better than that. I said, I got Dr. Hughes in a couple minutes that's going to be in my car with me. You can have 2 Millionaire Club members on the call for you. And so a few minutes later, he had both me and Dr. Hughes on the call talking to the state. And Dr. Hughes told him that in their state, since launching their LSU and doing some of these things, they had doubled the number of people showing up at their events. True? Doubled the numbers there. And he's just like, oh, my gosh. He goes, this makes such a big difference. And these cultural building activities are critical. Dr. Hughes talked about it, about never missing anything and building your culture and stuff like that. And then we just heard Larry Smith talk about every Super Saturday, he invites everybody afterwards over to his house for culture building activities. Last night was a priceless opportunity to be able to not only have dinner with Dr. Hughes and a Q&A and stuff, and then go do something fun. And in the past, we've done bowling and we've done other activities and stuff. So we're coming into some warm weather months. And we're trying to think, what can we do to dramatically increase your success? What promotion can we run that will increase your income, increase your guests, associates, and build your teams? And knowing how important that culture building is, we've decided to run a thing where we're still going to do, hey, if you want to get a ticket today, that's great. You can still get them for next month, $20, that you'll be able to get into the event next month. We will still do the five for the price of four. And to me, quite honestly, I think that's where all the leaders lie. It's five for the price of four. Because I would say, hey, you know what? I'm not coming back alone. I'm not coming back by myself. I'm coming back with a team of people. And last night's dinner, it was a very nice place. Joe Morley's barbecue, great, great, great food. But we realized also that at about $20 a head, it starts to get a little bit pricey for some people, especially if you're bringing your spouse. And I had two people text me yesterday, hey, can I bring my kids to dinner? I'm like, sorry, no kids. This is just an adult thing only. And neither one of those people showed up. And I can understand. Sometimes it's tough to get a babysitter. So we're going to eliminate all those things. What we're going to do is we're going to have a huge party at my place Friday night with Larry Smith. Everyone that decides to be in the five tickets for the price of four, not only are you saving $20 on a ticket, but we're going to give you two tickets to the dinner party for the event. So not only both husband and wife come, but all your kids under 12 get into the dinner event for free too. So not only will we have mini truck rides there, we've got a playground there. My daughter's horse, she's got a miniature pony. It's going to have a baby between now and then. I don't know if your kids like horses, but sometimes you get worried about them getting kicked hanging around them. Well, this will be a horse about this big. You won't need to worry about your kids getting kicked by a baby miniature horse. I think your kids, if your kids are like my kids, they'll go absolutely berserk being out there playing with the miniature horse and stuff like that. We want to have something that your kids go, when are we going back? When are we going back? We want you to be able to hang out for a few hours with someone like Larry Smith. When in your life, in your normal day job, do you get to sit down with someone like that that's made, how many millions has he made?
$5 million.
Oh, $5 million. When do you get to sit down with someone for a few hours and just ask questions? and just pick their brain and get those extra pearls with them. And if you did get the chance to go hang out with someone, what would you typically pay per hour to be around them? I've gone to a lot of seminars and conventions of people not even that high of caliber. And sometimes those tickets are hundreds of dollars just to be in their presence. What we're saying is how you and you like to go, how would you and your spouse like to go to that event absolutely free and bring all your kids to and grow your business at the same time? We're trying to motivate you guys to do the right things to explode your business in a marketplace. I know this much, if you had five more people here today that saw Dr. Hughes, if you had five more people next month that could then explode their team, five more people and stuff like that, that's how you grow a marketplace. That's how you get to the point where Dr. Hughes was talking about, the three fresh thresholds in his business, where first he hit executive director, it's because you got a lot of people on your team. But when you have three other people hit exec on your team, you're like, whoa, I don't have to do anything anymore. That's a whole lot better feeling. But it happens because of the right behaviors of people saying, I'm coming back with more people. Put this in your calendars. June 9th. June 9th. Now, he's going to be here for a few days before that. We're also going to put together a golfing trip. For those of you that are like to golf, we'll get you some more information about a golf outing that we're going to be doing. But June 9th, Mr. Larry Smith is going to be here on stage in Utah. I'm excited to have him here. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, by the way, if you decide not to participate in the Five Ticket Club, you can still come to the barbecue and bring your kids and stuff, but there will be a price. We've got, where is Jeanette here? I didn't see Jeanette on your team, Jeanette. Texas Jeanette. I haven't seen her. Jeanette is from Texas, and she claims to have the most incredible barbecue man has ever known. We're going to put her to the test and find out. I told her, hey, we'll spring for, you know, some great tri-tip and the cold and the mesquite and everything else like that, and put her to work all day grilling us up some sweet Texas barbecue and go ahead and have an incredible dinner. So it will still be available to everybody in the state, but I'd like to see you there with five other people on your team that get a hangout with Larry Smith, who then can come back the next month with five more and five more and five more, and then go executive director. Get your ring. Dr. Hughes talked about that. Everyone says, hey, I want to go executive director. But is it a wish or is it a plan? If it's, hey, I want to go executive director, but I'm going to do the same thing I did last month and then look at my results and see if things got different, that's a wish. A plan is, I'm going to be there with more people. Therefore, there is now a goal in place. There's actually activity. Something changed. I hope it's a plan, not a wish. I'll see you all June 9th at my house. Party for everyone in Legal Sheet. Everybody have a great night.
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all I can...